Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Yes, no Clint Sterner today. He is out. But in for him, 12-year NFL vet. Our guy, former Houston Texan, Wade Smith, is in the building. T. Mill is producing this thing. And I want to get to this first. We were seeing this last night, Tyler and I, and we were talking through a couple breaks, and we were like, I'm not sure if this is for sure yet, and you don't want to announce that type of news yet. So we hadn't talked about it yet. But former Houston Texan coach, current coach for the New York Jets, offensive assistant Greg Knapp, passed away from injuries on a bike accident he had. He was hit by a car riding a bike. And I know, Wade, you he was a coach while you were here in Houston, and you knew him pretty well.
Yeah, Knapp was a very good dude. We used to be neighbors back in. He was here in 2010 and 2011. So if y'all think back to the Texans teams, 2010, we had the leading rusher in the league, Aaron Foster. I remember Matt Schaub throwing for 500 and some yards the game after we ran for 231 against the Colts. But he was the quarterback's coach on that team and those two teams. And based off of those two seasons' work, he ended up becoming the offensive coordinator with the Raiders after that. And then he had his travels after that. Now, of course, he was with New York Jets, but Knapp was kind of the epitome of what you want a coach to be. Really good dude. First of all, he knew his stuff. He knew frontwards and backwards that offensive scheme. And a lot of times when you have, you know, they talk about glue guys in whatever sports, talking about football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is, you have those glue guys that might not get the recognition that other guys do because they have, you know, those name brand guys that are part of their rosters. But without those guys, there wouldn't have been nowhere near the amount of success that took place. Like Greg Knapp, that was that dude. Like he was that guy, one of those guys for those Houston Texans teams. And so for him to get cut down, man, he's just riding his bike around the neighborhood, staying in shape, you know, type of deal. And according to Adam Schefter, you know, apparently there was a teenager that was riding around, you know, texting and driving and hit him. That's one of the hardest things that I've heard in a while. And he was a dad, you know, husband. Like I said, I don't know a player that has ever had anything negative to say about Knapp. Like period. Like and that's tough to do in a tough business. And so I before we said anything, did anything, I definitely had to come out and give my condolences to the Knapp family. To the Texans family organization, there's people that are still there now that were there then and know what type of person he was. My interactions with him were always great. He was very relatable, very down to earth, knew his stuff, and loved the game of football. And you really can't ask for more of that in a coach and in a human being. So rest easy, Knapp.
Yeah, prayers to out. I think you said he had three kids.
Yeah, three wife, daughters.
Three daughters, three girls, so. Prayers out to the Knapp family, as you said, rest in power, rest in peace to Greg Knapp, former Houston Texans offensive assistant. Clint's out once again. Your voice you're hearing is Wade Smith, and Wade, this is the point of the show, which will happen multiple times, where our producer Tyler Milner gets really upset. He is a Texas A&M fan, and he is in refusal to accept that this is actually going to happen. Yesterday, he said he was at 72% belief that Texas and has it? Where is it now?
I'd say it's about I'm at about 85%.
85. Wow, that's a hell of a jump.
Yeah.
From around the 535 yesterday. This coming out from Kirk Bohl of the who reports in Austin of the American Statesman. Said that Texas and OU move to the SEC is almost done. 84, huh? They've been working on this for a minimum of 6 months. And here's the tough one. Here's the tough one, Tyler. Buckle up. and A&M's leadership was left out of the discussion and wasn't told about it. Move could become official in a week.
So a Big 12 guy from Austin said this.
Oh, so you don't believe
it? So you don't believe it?
Oh, so I mean,
is that what you're saying?
Is that what you're calling, you're calling Kirk a liar here?
I need more sources than my guy
Kirk.
You
need more sources than this.
But
okay.
That's possible.
You don't, you're damn right it's possible.
But this is the question, though, Tyler. It's possible, if it is true, that this is how it went down.
That's terrible.
As an Aggie fan, as an Aggie alum, how does that make you feel? Because I know how I would feel.
Yeah, that's tough.
I just want to know how you, I mean, how you.
Yeah, that would be tough, especially knowing that other schools in the conference have rightfully blocked other schools within their states and kind of been supported through it. That would be a little tough to swallow, but, you know.
You should be upset about
Texas
this
is coming,
one.
Though, if Texas is coming, let's go.
That's
let's
good.
Go.
That's what I want to hear.
Yes.
I want you to stop with your scared mentality. That's what I want to hear, Tyler. I want to hear that.
Ain't no scared mentality.
And hear it. And I'm going to put it this way to you. And Tyler, this one may tick you off and some of the others or John Lopez as he's driving home. Actually, Lopez is level headed. I think he can understand this. Like what this shows to me, and I'm not for sure if A&M was left out of the discussion, but I don't know why Kirk and his sources would lie about this. Kirk seems like a fella who's been doing this a long time just by his visual. The SEC. They need Texas and Oklahoma just as bad as Oklahoma and Texas need the SEC.
Hold on, so.
See, I know a lot of people like you hear that. Yeah, I text you that this morning, and you hit me with the dislike. Even though I don't have an iPhone, I still get what you sent to me. He hit me with the dislike, and here it is. And this is why. And once again, I said it. The SEC needs, the strongest conference in America needs Texas and Oklahoma as bad as OU and Texas needs the SEC, because this is clearly now becoming an arms race to get to the four super conferences. And you want to, in this arms race, be the strongest football conference, because that's where the money really is. There's only about four or five basketball programs that matter. You want to have the strongest football conference. So when you start going to networks and you start going to different places to sell for this money, you can put together and say, hey, this is what we want, take it or leave it. Because if OU and Texas are already saying we will go together, mm-hmm. and OU is saying we'll break this little deal we have with Oklahoma State that says they have to come with us.
Yep.
The Big Ten is going to try to get OU and Texas. And now that is comparable. You could push when you talk about the brands that would be if you add Oklahoma and Texas to Michigan and Penn State and Ohio State and Nebraska. You add that to them. But if you saying, hey, baby, we got Alabama. We got Texas. We got OU. We got Georgia. Those are flat out blue bloods.
Florida.
Straight up. We got Florida. We got Auburn. We got Texas A&M. We got Tennessee. We got. You can go tell CBS, ESPN, whatever you want. That's why the SEC ain't fools. They've always been forward thinking, and they see where this thing is going. And they can't get Notre Dame, or they would try.
Yeah.
The ACC pretty much has that sold up.
Yeah.
But those two, you get those two in, they want to be the powerful conference when this arms race hits. You don't want to be sitting out there like the Pac-12, who's going to have to reach and get Baylor and TCU. Apologize to you guys, but that's not as
it's no disrespect for this, but it's the truth of the matter.
But that's where you got that's why the SEC needs to get OU and Texas as much as OU and Texas wants there.
What Texas A&M fans need to understand is that it's bigger than them. This thing is bigger than them. Do not take this personal. I know that there's a personal beef between Aggies and Longhorns, and that's been going back since the beginning
of time.
It's a rivalry, no question about it. And the way that A&M left the conference and all that stuff, hey, there's a natural beef there. But this is bigger than them. The NIL situation that came about short time ago, and everything that's happened since then, and how quickly the ball is rolling. Like, hey, it's bigger than A&M. It's bigger than the A&M Texas rivalry. It's always going to be and come down to money. And it's an arms race, like you said, show, between the biggest dogs on the block. And if the SEC doesn't take the Texas and Texas and OU, then the Big Ten will. And so, and if the Big Ten takes them, then they become the biggest dog on the block. And so it is an arms race, and SEC is going to win it. If you believe that this is not going to happen, I got some real estate to sell you.
I'm at 86% now.
No, you need to get 86, up to about just, you need to get up to about 95.
Like I wasn't trying to be a jerk to say like the SEC is strong. They're the strongest conference.
Yeah.
But for this to this is where this is going.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. And selfishly, just to be clear, like my whole stance on it wasn't, man, I don't want Texas, you know, near A&M. I don't want Texas around this. It was purely because of what it would do to recruiting It would make it harder. And I'm not saying A&M can't beat Texas in recruiting in the state of Texas, but since they went to the SEC, it's been a hell of a lot easier. Go to a kid's home, hey, we're in the SEC. You can stay in Texas. Come over to Texas A&M, play great football. We have the best everything as far as facility goes in the state, and now that is going to be more competition.
But you know the SEC could give three rips about that.
Oh, like for sure.
They don't care. Yeah. It's bigger
absolutely.
Than that. Much bigger than that.
I'm listening to radio in Big Ten country, and they are having a conniption because I was listening to them sit around and try to figure out the Big Ten's next move because they said they're at 14. We're going to go to 16.
Yeah.
And they,
who are the two schools that they're going to bring in?
Then they're talking about Kansas because of the basketball program.
Right.
And West Virginia.
West Virginia is going to end up in the ACC.
That's what I would think.
That makes a lot more sense.
But when you think about what's left in the Big 12 football.
Yeah.
And the Big 10 doesn't really give a rip, apparently, about how far they go out because they're in New Jersey. They're in Pennsylvania. They're everywhere. So they would try to go that route or try to get Oklahoma State or something like that. But like that, I mean, that's where they're talking about Texas, Oklahoma, and then their counter is.
And it's not much of a counter.
It's not.
That's the thing about it. It's
Kansas
not much of a
and
counter.
West Virginia. Now, I understand Kansas is one of those basketball programs that make money. So that would be the reasoning why, because that would make.
But their football program right now is in disarray.
Stunks.
It's in disarray awful. Right now. Like the coach just got fired. Okay. They have a lot of things going on negatively at Kansas. You guys are struggling.
Okay.
These guys would have a hard time scheduling the Memphis Tigers right now because Memphis Tigers football program is just much better. It's much better than Kansas. And so, you know, that could be a huge detriment to them trying to make it to a conference like the Big Ten. And so okay. And hopefully you guys will be able to overcome that.
All right, here.
But the SEC, Texas, OU, that is going down.
Okay.
Yeah, hit your break.
That was completely
go Tigers, go.
That was completely uncalled for. And I'm not even going to stoop.
He can't. There's nothing he can say.
Oh, there's a card.
But it was like 15 years ago.
You still remember that night.
Long time ago.
Damn, Derrick Rose, just take your foot back a step. Just take your foot back a step. All right. It is happening in the NFL. I mean, they are – I think the word Wade used earlier in prep was goons, the NFL are doing. And the latest, wait till you hear what happened to an NFL franchise and what they did to a coach. You will not want to miss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Ah, Clint Sterner's out today in Wade Smith, former Houston Texan. Former Pro Bowler is in the building. And Wade, it got real serious with the NFL yesterday. Yesterday, Mike Garofalo of NFL Network reported kind of the breakdown of how the NFL is going to be handling COVID and vaccines.
If the game's not played, it's not just the team that caused the outbreak. Both teams would not be paid their paragraph 5 salary, their base salary, that installment for that game. Remember, teams were upset last year. Hey, it's their problem, and we're rescheduling this game, and we're moving this game around, and it's inconveniencing us. Yeah, well, on top of that, you're not going to get paid. And by the way, still in this memo, if the other team is not following protocols, remember we had some of that last year? Commissioner Roger Goodell still retains the right, in addition to canceling the game, the forfeit, there could still be penalties in the form of fines, draft picks, whatever, on top of that.
Forfeiting games.
Yeah.
Which, as I talked to you earlier, if the Titans did what they did again this year, going to hold practices at local high schools, going against what the NFL had talked about, which then caused them to have a game moved around and messed up the Steelers season. At this point, they would forfeit games and potentially lose their game checks and the Steelers game checks. Now, you've played in the NFL, and I knew you were coming in today, I'm like, well, I heard what Clint thought. I want to hear what Wade has to think about this. When you hear this chess move by the NFL, how much do you think this is going to change things in the, with players in the league?
The king stay the king. And I like how you put that, this chess move, because the NFL is what it is because it's able to do things like this to basically exert its power, its control, its force over its workers, period. Like, the NFLPA, this is another example of the NFLPA showing the lack of power, the lack of leverage that it has in this situation, or just any type of negotiation, any type of potential strife with the NFL, period. Like, you look at this, you talk about pitting players against one another. You're saying to me, if my team does everything they're supposed to do, and the team that we're playing against has a player or two that are unvaccinated, and because of that, there's an outbreak that happens, and because of that, we can't play our game, I don't get paid that week. Mm. That's a problem. You have players that hear that scenario and say, y'all asses need to go get your shots.
You think those are the conversations that are happening right now? Because we've had players come out on other sides, like DeAndre Hopkins, probably the most prominent player.
Huge name.
It came out.
Say another name.
I don't know if I've got one that's big. DJ Reader said it.
You said Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey came out and said he wouldn't have a problem if players on his team didn't want to get a vaccine. Cole Beasley for the Buffalo Bills has obviously been very vocal about not wanting to get a vaccine. I just, like, there are players that are obviously – on the other side of this,
yes.
What are the conversations like in the locker room? I mean, you think this is a deal of, because now, as you said it, and I've heard players say it, now you're messing with my money. Yesterday, Clint said, hey, I couldn't miss a check on Tuesday. He's like, that, like, to me, like, I was making money, but I couldn't miss a check on Tuesday. You start bringing in missing money and forfeiting games, which hurts your playoff chances and things of that nature. I mean, I've got to believe it's some very real conversations happening in locker rooms.
It is a normal tactic of the NFL to make sure they apply pressure on the middle class of the NFL in order to get things done the way they want them done. And this type of policy, this type of rule, puts a tremendous amount of pressure on guys that are the middle of the roster. Like you said, the guys that spoke out are guys that are paid. And they're guys that are superstars or, you know, franchise-type players on their team. But at the end of the day, those guys don't drive what's going on in the NFL, as shown in the past, you know, 10 years or so, because the NFL has figured out, go towards the middle class, and that's going to steer the ship. Because you're telling me that there's guys on the team that might not want to get vaccinated, but understand that if I don't get vaccinated, they're making it so hard on me as far as the protocols I have to go through, the consequences for my actions if I'm the one that causes an issue. The one thing as a competitor, you never want to be the guy that causes us to lose, period. Like, you don't want to you always want to be blameless. You want to be the one that makes the play, not the one that allows the play for your team to lose.
I
right?
did my job.
I did what I was supposed to do and gave us our best chance to win. That's part of the whole do your job mantra, right? Well, if you're unvaccinated and you happen to catch the virus and then it spreads throughout your team and then now you're the catalyst to you losing the game, that in itself as a competitor is the last thing you want to happen. And then now you're also not getting paid, and then the team you're playing against is not getting paid because of it. Man, the NFL... It is damn near genius, because you know what? It's not illegal what they're doing.
You said genius.
Because it's damn near genius, because if you're vaccinated and you catch it, hey, you did everything that you could, and so the consequences are not – there's no consequences. It's just, hey, you have your you have to quarantine, but there's no negative effect towards your team and franchise, and you did everything you can to put yourself in the best position to succeed, which is what being an NFL player is all about. What being an NFL owner, front office guy, if you're in this business, your job is to put your best foot forward and go out there and compete, and then you let the chips fall where they may. And so the way that they've constructed this is, hey, you can play, but you're going to have to play under a certain set of parameters, and you have an extra set of consequences that are they're not ridiculous, but they are ridiculous from the perspective is there's no way that the players are going to stand up to this and say, no, hell no, I'm not gonna get vaccinated, and we're gonna stick together, because there's a lot of players that are like, just get the damn shot, or believe you should get the shot. Talking about a whole nother layer to this is just, should you get vaccinated, should you not get vaccinated? Not even getting into that part of it, but you're not going to get the players to band together to fight this, because there's too many of them that believe you should get the shot anyway. And so it's genius by the NFL, the way that they put this together, to where you're hitting the pockets of the players, you're hitting up the pockets of the actual franchises. If a franchise causes a game to be missed, that franchise has to pay revenues to the other franchise that lost revenues. Think about that. So you telling me an owner of a team is going to allow a bunch of players to be unvaccinated on his roster? But no, we need to get guys that want to have shots. So like I said earlier, it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the middle class. An owner of a franchise is only going to allow somebody to remain that wants to be unvaccinated if they're great and you're willing to take the risk for that person. But somebody that's borderline, somebody that's, you know, pretty good, that you're like, hey, it's not worth the aggravation. We need to get over that threshold with the amount of shots that we have so that we can function as an organization and eliminate that part of it and put our best foot forward.
That's Wade Smith. I'm Ron, the show, and I'm seeing this on the text line a lot of what if a player, and Wade went through a bit, what if a player is vaccinated, is the cause of an outbreak. As he said, like, listen, the NFL knows this isn't 100%.
No question.
We all know this. It isn't 100%. But, and I'm going to step right and tell you, I have no problem with what the NFL is doing. Private business, I got no problem with this being their response. Hell, I'll tell you the truth, God honest, I wouldn't have a problem if they said, you can't play if you're not vaccinated. A private business, if they're going to say, we want to keep this thing as our money coming in the way it needs to be and have our games as competitive and not have what happened in Denver where some guy from Vanderbilt who was a wide receiver has to come in and play quarterback and absolutely take the look of our game down.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to avoid that. We're going to try to do what we can is the safest route possible. And it is clear by facts, the safest route possible is it not a guarantee that you could catch COVID or test positive for COVID if you have the vaccine? No. But in most cases, it's shown that, and when I say most cases, almost all cases, it's shown that your body, in response to testing positive to COVID when you have the vaccine, is far less deadly than it is if you don't. And when you don't have the vaccine, it spread and pushes this to other people around here. So they're going to keep this thing as safe as possible. And so if you have the vaccine, hey, it happened. If you don't and you're putting people in this situation, you can play with it. You can play without it. We ain't going to take that from you. You can do it. You can make that choice. You've got your freedom of choice. But hey, there's going to be some consequences to what that's going to look like. And that's just the real deal.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. Like I said, the NFL played this the right way. There's a lot of people that are going to have a problem with it because they have a problem with people in authority telling them what to do. There's going to have a lot of people that have a problem with it because, hey, you know, I don't believe in the vaccine. I don't think that you should have to do that. It's a free country, and you're right, it's a free country. They can't eliminate you from working, or they're smart enough to know it's not a good idea to go that route, but they can make it so hard on you and so hard for somebody else, the guys around you, that it's people are going to capitulate. People are going to buy in and just get the shots. And so they did this all in one fell swoop. And I do not foresee it being an issue for very long. People are going to have their gripes. There's going to be complaints. But at the end of the day, the majority of guys, enough to get it over that threshold, are going to get their shots.
All right. I think we need to pump the brakes on how people are discussing how to rebuild the Houston Rockets. We'll discuss that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Wade Smith in, 12-year NFL vet, former Pro Bowler. He's in with us. Tyler's producing this. Clint is out today. Listen, Giannis, this is still Giannis's week. All of hopefully he ate all 50 of those
Chick-fil-A.
Yes, those chick minis by now. But you still blown away by his performance.
Hey, that performance, I gotta say, it is up there in my memory. I don't remember a game six game clinching performance by one player to that level. I don't remember one. Like, to me, what he put out there, 50 points, shooting 17 for 19 from the free throw line, just how dominant he was on the defensive end of the court. Like, it's one thing to score 50 points, but usually a guy that scores 50 points is not also getting multiple blocks, just being dominant on the defensive side of the ball too. And then a guy that struggled with free throws his entire career, in the most clutch moment, figures out how to focus in and get the job done and shoot 17 for 19. It was an amazing performance by Giannis, and you gotta respect a guy that plays his best in the clutch situations. You gotta give deference to somebody that can pick up their game in the most stressful and the most pressure packed moments, because they didn't want to go back to Phoenix for game seven. They probably felt like they can go out there and win a game seven, but you don't want that. You have opportunity to win it in front of your crowd. He played an amazing ball game. I got a lot of respect for what he was able to do. And yeah, man, like, Giannis Antetokounmpo is
good job.
You know, yeah, man. If you just let it flow, it just flows.
Yeah, I don't
flows.
Have it every time.
You just gotta let it flow. If it flows, it flows. But
one for 15.
Giannis just did an amazing job, and he had help. I mean, he had his guys around him step up and play well as well. Bobby Portis Jr. was acting a damn fool out there. It was a lot of good stuff to see, and it was a damn good ball game. Like, straight up, it wasn't like Phoenix laid down. They played well. But, yeah, you got to give a lot of respect.
And Giannis wasn't going to let him lose.
No, he wasn't going to let him lose, and that's he pulled it out. And now he's been able to talk his day in and day out since he won the championship. And I'm here for it.
And Wade, see, that's
– I'm here for it.
And I'm here for you. It's his time. It's his time for about the next month. It's his time to do whatever he wants. But
you can't tell him anything anymore. Like, if it's like Dirk Nowitzki and – Dallas fans, Mavericks fans. You really can't tell Mavericks fans anything. They got their one.
They got it.
We got our one, so we not tripping. Giannis probably is not going to win another one. There's a lot of things that worked out for him in order to get this championship, but he got it. And once you get it, you can never take that away.
See, I'm glad you said that, because one of the things that – and this happens all the time when someone wins in any sport, right? When the Bucks won, teams start looking at, ooh, how can we replicate that? When the Chiefs won the year before, you've got to replicate that. That's what you've got to do. And now we're seeing it with the Bucks, and I'm seeing this from Rockets fans that, ooh, that's what they've got to do. They've got to build it like the Bucks did. And that's fine. Can you, could you? That would, yes, there are different routes to a championship. And could that be one? Yes, but let's pump our brakes first. Like, that is the hardest route to a championship that you could think of. I mean, and the Rockets, because of where they are and what city they're in and what they have around them, they have some resources where they don't have to do it exactly the way the Bucks did or as hard as the Bucks did. Think about that. They had a draft. Like, they got one lottery pick on that team, and it's Brook Lopez, a guy that they've signed. Just one lottery pick. They had to hit on Giannis, who looks nothing like he does today when he was drafted at all. Looks nothing like it. They had to hit on Chris Middleton the way they hit on him. They had to find a way to get trades to get Drew Holiday here after the Eric Bledsoe thing went into flames, which they thought had. And then if you think about just what happened, it took Kyrie Irving getting hit by a truck. It took James Harden. I know many of you dislike, and what do you call him, a turd?
Yeah, Tyler. He's a turd.
It took him being half himself. And they still damn near lost to the Nets with Durant and half a Harden.
He played so bad in Game 7, too.
James Harden
played so bad.
So bad. He was clearly not himself.
He wasn't himself, but and then
it started looking a little weird against the Hawks, who a team I thought they might sweep. And then their best player, who was killing them, he goes down and misses a couple of games. Not going to go Giannis got hurt, too, but they lost a game to the Hawks without Trae Young.
That's bad.
And they lost by 20. They got blown out in a game without Trae Young playing in it. And then, obviously, Anthony Davis and LeBron and the Lakers weren't there at the end. Kawhi got hit by a truck all the way. Jamal Murray. That is hard to replicate. Like, I thought what I saw the Raptors do when a couple of other guys for the Warriors got hit by cars to win a championship was tough, but this was even better. So to think that you can replicate all of that again, and Houston doesn't have to. You're not the Indiana Pacers. You're not the Sacramento Kings or the Charlotte Hornets where you can attract players and find other ways to get stars. So if you want to go the route of Milwaukee, that's fine, but the number one goal to me is get the star and try to get multiple stars, at least two stars, and however you have to do it. And the Rockets don't have to do it in the way of we just got to hope and pray that we hit on draft picks. I think that's one route of it, but that's not the – so let's pump the brakes on. Boy, let's do it the way the Bucks did it.
Well, I'll say this about it. I agree that they don't have the same types of constraints on them that the Milwaukee Bucks have and had. It's built in. Milwaukee is not a huge market. They're not going to be attractive just based off the city and the amount of marketing dollars and the amount of advertising that you can get if you're a free agent that's trying to find a place to go. Houston definitely is a much bigger market and a much better market as far as that's concerned. But the idea of drafting and developing guys and building your team that way is the most prudent way to build rosters in any sport. And so to see Phoenix do it that way and Milwaukee do it that way and how Golden State did it, these are teams that drafted very well, developed their guys, and then added major pieces in order to get them over the hump to win championships. Of course, Phoenix didn't win it, but they made it to the NBA Finals because they drafted very well and then they built their rosters around it. And Milwaukee Bucks, of course, did the same thing. The Rockets taking that line of thinking, I think, is very smart. I think it's prudent based off of the amount of picks that they have, the young talent they have on the roster right now. I think that's the way to go about it. Now, can you get there quicker because you're in Houston, because of some of the pieces you have now? Yes, I think that's very, very true. But to have any disparaging thoughts about doing it the Milwaukee Buck way, I don't agree with that at all. I think doing it that way is a smart way to go about building your roster and building franchises. And so I think that's something that should be emulated by any team, especially if you're a team like the Houston Rockets that over the past 10 years or so, however long it was that James Harden was here, seemed like it was about 10 years. But during that time, you had a superstar. You got the superstar before he became the superstar. He became the superstar with you. And then you were able to attract the other guys, and then like Dwight Howard. But then you were trading out different superstars each and every, seemed like every other year, in order to get over that hump. Once you've had that whole feeling as a franchise and as a city of your hopes being all on, you know, one guy and James Harden getting over the hump, maybe you say to yourself, maybe we need to take a step back and try to build this from ground up. And so from that perspective, I think that's a good way to go about it and look at the Milwaukee Bucks as a franchise to try to emulate.
As we're talking here, getting the sense that because the Bucks won the championship, a lot of Rocket fans I'm seeing are saying that's the way we should do it. We should start right now and build it the way the Bucks did. And I'm saying that is an option. What I'm saying is, let's pump our brakes. Like that's a difficult option. That's a tough one. Like I think the Kings have been trying to do it that way for a long time. I think the Pelicans are going to try to do it this way for a minute, and we'll see how successful they are with Zion and seeing if he'll stay. They'll see if he. I think that the Trailblazers have been trying to potentially do it this way. It's just that's a tough way. But whatever for me is, however you do it, get the star. And it could be that way if you say, all right, we're going to draft and hope that Giannis and we find a Giannis. And that that's a hard hope, but we hope we find a Giannis. And maybe this kid Green or maybe Suggs, whoever you draft at number two, is that guy. And that could be, but get the star. But that star could also be if you're Houston, because players like to come here and play. That star could also be, hey, let's package this number two pick and some of these picks we got in this James Harden deal and say, hey, Portland, can we get Dame? And with Dame, can Dame attract Bradley Beal? And can we bring somebody? Like, you can do it that way. I don't think Milwaukee has that, because I think Dame would say, I'm not going to Milwaukee. And that's not an option for them. I'm just saying, get the star. And if you're looking at the Milwaukee thing, slow down a bit, because that's a tough route. And everything, because if they didn't win this series, no, I don't think people would be saying, let's do it the Milwaukee way, if they didn't win at all.
Of course not. That's the way it works. Yes. So once somebody wins a championship, then they say, hey, let's try to emulate that. That's with any sport. People, it's a copycat league. I say that all the time about the NFL. It's the same thing with the NBA. When you see someone do it the super team route, then other people try to go that route. You see what's going on with Brooklyn. You see what's going on with the Clippers. There's various teams that are trying to emulate what LeBron did in Miami. But just as many times as you've seen teams do it that way, as far as you saying, hey, we don't want guys, we don't think it's the best way to go about of drafting and develop, because it's hard to go that way. It's hard to go the other way as well, and it's more risky. If you're trying to do a super team deal where you're trying to get a superstar, trade away young assets, bring in one superstar that's going to bring in a couple other superstars and try to win that way and win fast, how many times has it worked? I mean, as many times as people have tried to do it, it hasn't worked that well. The Clippers, it didn't work for the Clippers. It didn't work for the Brooklyn Nets. There's a lot of teams that have tried it that way that it hasn't worked for them. And then the fall off and the drop off is just that much more significant. It's much more risky when you do it that way. So I like the idea of the Rockets going about it in a more methodical way, growing their young talent, leaning on the Christian Woods and the Michael Porter Juniors of the world, and seeing what they're going to get between Green or whatever
Michael
they're going
to
do.
Kevin Porter.
Kevin Porter Jr. Excuse me.
The Rockets got Michael Porter. About to slap me up.
But using that young talent in order to draft and develop that young talent and go that route, because you've seen it the other way for the past 8-9 years with James Harden. What's the rush? Is there a feeling around Houston that says, hey, we want to win next year? I don't think that's the case. I think this city is at a point right now where it's like, hey, let's see what we got with these young guys. Let's start building them and let's go that route. We tried it the other route for the past, 8-9 years. Let's try this other route. And so with that being the case, I don't think you need to try to rush it. I think you need to say, let's see what, because the fact that Christian Wood is here and he played at the level that he played at, nobody thought that move was going to be what it was. Now, maybe you got to give a little credit to the front office for the Rockets for seeing what type of talent that guy had and what he could bring to the roster. Maybe they can do the same with whatever draft picks they get and whatever, what you would look at as smaller moves to build together a program that is competitive year in and year out. And they're also young, and they're also an ascending franchise. That's what you would look for. And that's very similar to what went on with the Milwaukee Bucks. It's very similar to what went on with the Phoenix Suns. And those were the two teams that were in the NBA Finals this year.
And I'm not even saying it needs to go quick. I'm just saying the Bucks route is a route that I think the Houston Rockets, because of the resources they have, like the number two pick right now, their city, which is a city that players would come to, they don't have to go about it completely that route. To me, if you ask me the best route to me is for them to follow what, like, the Nets did, to follow what the Lakers did to an extent, to follow what the Clippers did, and that is put together your team, young talent, get some young guys together that other players feel like, all right, either I can come and play with to make better, or there can be assets used if I get there to go and get another star to come with me. Because to me, Kawhi looked at the Clippers and said, oh, that's a good young team. They've got some young pieces that I could, you know, we could bring another star over and we could come together and play. The Lakers, LeBron looked at that amongst other things, but well, they've got Brandon Ingram, they've got Lonzo Ball, they've got young pieces that I could either trade or play with. Kyle Kuzma, I could play with. There's something there that brings me there. I think the best move is the Rockets to get some of these young guys that looks attractable to a star, because that's what it's about. It's a star.
Yeah, you want to attract the stars, but L.A. Lakers is going to attract the star regardless. Like, their roster and what they had in place was not the deciding factor of why LeBron James wanted to go to L.A. and wanted to be a Laker. They could have had a worse roster, and he would have said that's still an attractive location to go to. Now, if they had a terrible roster, that's something different. But all things being equal, LeBron James was going to go to the Los Angeles Lakers.
But that also helped set it up to a point where he could get there and win quick and win faster. Like, he got hurt the first year, and then they had enough assets to go. They had enough young guys and assets to go after and get Anthony Davis.
Right. And I just look at it like this. The Rockets are a franchise right now that has some young pieces and has a lot of draft picks. To me, they don't compare to what you saw what happened with Brooklyn, what you saw happen with the Clippers. It's just a different scenario
here. Not yet. I'm saying, for me, the best thing is, let's say over the next year or even two, they get themselves to where someone looks and say, all right, they got some young dudes. And Christian Wood is one right now where they look and say, well, they got some young dudes that we can run with. Or they got some young dudes that can be moved to get somebody here. Because if it's just Christian Wood by himself and they miss out on a lot of these picks, that's going to be tougher for somebody to shake. But if they can get young talent that can grow and look attractable, that to me would be the best move. And Camp Casario coming up next. Is it Wednesday or is it Tuesday? Because
they report, I believe, on Tuesday, and then it starts Wednesday,
and
the first practice.
The first practice. It starts Wednesday. So make sure you are locked and loaded. Nobody will cover it like we will. We'll be taking you inside the walls of Camp Casario coming up next week. And we'll have exclusive interviews with players and Nick Casario one-on-one. No one else will have that with Camp Casario coming up. All right. The NFL made a huge chess move, and we've already seen ramifications to those moves. We'll discuss that next.